Hey guys, welcome to episode 15 of Inside the Cage. And this week it is the Inside the Cage Awards for 2018. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
Aye, good. 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 Glad to be back at it, you know.
I'm back recording to recording every week. Remember
my work? Back to recording every week.
That's true.
I'm getting another episode out for these fine people.
Yes, true.
So as I said, it's the awards this week. We've decided just kind of last minute that we would maybe do a wee bit of an award season type thing. Everybody else seems to have done it, so we thought, you know what? Bugger it, let's put our spin on it.
Quite a couple of weeks, haven't
we? There's no real MMA on for a couple of weeks, so we thought we'll fill the gap with some other stuff, and this is our first attempt at doing awards, so hopefully we'll make this a yearly thing. If this is received well, we might get absolutely dogs abuse for it, but we'll find out.
Well, if you use dogs abuse, let us know what about, but I'll let you know.
So we've got 10 categories. We'll go through them as we go. And our first category is Crowd of the Year. Now, there was a few good ones in our eyes, and
There's a few decent ones.
The one that we've picked the second has been a lot of people's first. But the reason it didn't come first for me was because it was only based on one entrance rather than
the whole card. One fight, aye.
But we're going to do like a top three on each of these categories, guys, briefly. So we'll just do a wee kind of chat on them briefly. Third on our list was UFC 229. And that was mainly just because it was absolutely manic.
It was a big deal.
It was noisy. It was boisterous. Both entrances were absolutely crazy for the main event. It didn't quite have the crowd going the rest of the night, which probably stopped it being the crowd of the year.
Aye.
But for that one event, it was enough to take that
crowd to
third and of all the events all year.
It was brilliant. No, the crowd reaction to everything was just insane.
Even like the aftermath, it was received pretty well. The crowd were a bit nuts, but it was decent, you know.
The only thing is, they went a bit mental afterward, didn't they?
Ah, of course. Well, that was kind of stemmed from the mentalness that happened in the cage and stuff like that. So, second on our list was UFC from Liverpool. And again, up until Darren Till, although Meatball Molly got a decent reception.
And she's gone as a scouser.
Yeah, and there was a couple of scousers that got a couple of people that got good, but it just didn't, the whole card just seemed a bit let down. When Darren Till, if it was based on one walk-on, that would have won
by an absolute mile.
Oh, mate, absolutely unreal. I mean, Sweet Caroline, it was just... And
it was a perfect song, wasn't it? Perfect song, just the place going mental.
It was absolutely mental, and that's why that alone, Darren Till's entrance, lifted that to second on our list. But our crowd of the year, and we both agreed on this straight off the bat.
I loved it. Just as we were watching it, we just looked at each other. And just,
was Buenos Aires.
Aye, Argentina, Buenos Aires. First ever event in Argentina.
When Ponzinibbio dropped Magny.
Oh, the noise.
It was unreal.
But it wasn't even that. It was the second fight in again.
It was Staropoli versus Aldana.
That's what it was.
Absolutely crazy.
That was one of the craziest fights ever.
It was a lot of good fighting that night. That was actually a really good event overall. Even Ricardo Lamas, when he docked out Elkins, it was just Big Johnny Walker.
It was
a great night, and the crowd were just amazing. And for me, brilliant. To be honest, Liverpool and Argentina were close for me.
There wasn't a lot in it, but I think just the reaction from every fight the Argentinians gave was just about winner.
Just edged it for us. So our crowd of the year, 2018, was UFC Buenos Aires, first award ever given. Congratulations, well done.
Yes.
Next on our list of categories is Event of the Year. Now, this is any MMA event. Bellator, Cage Warriors, any of that stuff won. To be honest, this is very UFC dominated, this.
But you're going to get that with the best fighters and the best cards. This is basically about the full card. Like, there might have been two or three fights at the top of a card that were far better than any other card.
But overall?
But when you look at a full card, we keep saying this when we do our shows, that a card's only as good as its prelims.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've looked at, and some of the prelims that happened during these cards were just incredible.
So again, another third place for Khabib McGregor.
Yes.
And again, a very good card.
It was a very good card.
A very good card, and a very good night of fighting.
Ferguson Pettis before it and stuff like that. So it was just a great card. Great card, great fighting. All in all, brilliant.
Yeah. Second on our list was Whitaker Romero, UFC 225, which again was stacked full of great fights and great performances all round. Whitaker, obviously.
Colby had an RDA, didn't you, as well? So.
Mm-hmm. and Holly Holm beating Megan Anderson.
It was a long night because basically every fight on the main card had a decision.
Yeah, basically. And also that's when Mike Jackson had that controversial fight with Punk and stuff like that. And I mean, it was a good night of fighting again. Loads of even Bektic and Gadea. Look at the prelims on that. You know, you had Rashad Kowart, Lamas, Bektic, Gadea, Esparza, Overeem Blades on the prelims.
You get into the pre-prelims, you look at Sergio Pettis beating Yusuf Venedier. What a victory.
Anthony Smith,
Rashad Evans. Brilliant card.
Charles Oliveira.
What a card.
It was honestly one of the stacked cards of the year.
That's what makes a great event. And you don't necessarily need to have the two top fights at the card need to be the best, because there was ones that were better. But an overall card, that definitely deserved to be second by a mile.
Yeah.
Brilliant card.
And then our event of the year was UFC 228, Woodley versus Till.
Matt Davison.
It was one of
the greatest cards ever, I think.
It was amazing. You had decisions. You had two of the craziest submissions you're ever going to see. One of the most dominant women's performances you're ever going to see. You know, you had a couple of shocks in there. Jeff Neal, you know, knocking out Frank Camacho. You know, there was loads and loads of good fighting on that. Even Andrade's knockout of Kovalevic. I mean,
you look at that and there's two or three knockouts on that, you can say, knockouts a year. There's two or three submissions that can be submission in a year.
Yeah.
That shows you how good a card that was. But yeah, Country Mile, what a card. Brilliant.
It was great. It was absolutely brilliant. It was a great night for
MMA. That was our first card, was it not? That was the first card we ever done a programme on.
It may have been. I would need to die probably September 8th. It was a sign, you know, it was fate, and that's what it was. But
the
fight of the night was on the prelims.
Aye.
Between the two lasses I'd never heard of.
No, I never heard of them either. And it was
unbelievable.
Aye.
Potentially one of your fights of the year, you know.
Definitely.
But yeah. So our event of the year goes to UFC 228.
Yes, it does.
Next up, we've got newcomer of the year. Now, we had a wee discussion about this, and we decided it had to be people who debuted in the relevant.
Aye.
Well, basically, one of the big three, I would think, had to basically be newcomer of the year, I would think, or even in Cage Wars, but they had to debut that year.
I had to debut in their promotion last year, basically.
So in third place this year, we have, for newcomer, was Nat Wood, because he debuted with UFC, obviously being a British podcast, and we had to give them British and all at some point.
You need a bit of British spin on things, don't you? So
Nathaniel Wood.
Great performances.
Oh, brilliant. Really, really assured. I mean, Andrew Yule was a good one for him.
Aye.
His last one out, it was a really good fight, and he's only going to go to bigger and better things. That division isn't massively stacked. Bantam, there's some good fighters there, don't get me wrong, but a lot of old fighters like Rafael Sunshall, old guys, you know. There's potential for him there if he keeps his head to go and, you know, have a good couple of years in that division.
Definitely. He's definitely a prospect. Well, his name's a prospect for that.
Exactly. The prospect, exactly.
He's definitely up there.
Exactly.
TJ's so far ahead of theirs in that division, but.
Our second place of our newcomer of the year is Alexander Hernandez, who, by the way, if we had a debut of the year, he would have won that.
Yeah, by a country mile.
Because he smashed him.
42 seconds.
Came out of nowhere and absolutely smashed.
Darius gets smashed. He just turned up, made weight, and went and fought. He was there for Darius just to go and beat him up, just so we can fill our space on the card.
Mm. And even his performance against Aubin Mercier, he had to dig in, win on points. It was a good, solid performance.
Really good performance as well.
Just one of these, a good, exciting young fighter.
Definitely.
Somebody else to get excited about. You know, coming up for this year, coming to 2019 is a big deal for these guys, you know. But I think our newcomer of the year, 2018.
I think every single person, newcomer of the year on the planet.
By a country of my own.
It's not even an argument.
Israel Adesanya. Not only did the kid fight four times this year, he's undefeated in 15 professional fights. He is a bit of a badass.
He's one of the standout prospects in the whole UFC by a mile.
And
he's,
I think,
absolutely brilliant.
It's testament, in fact, not only the whole UFC, the whole of MMA. He's up there with guys like Pico and Nat Wood and Alexander Hernandez, these young guys that are coming through. Saying that, Hernandez, he's 27. Adesanya.
I
don't know. He might actually even be 29.
I think he's 29 as well.
Yeah, he's 29, so he's not a young guy.
No, but still young in MMA time.
Aye, of course, he's still got a good 5, 6, 7 years in him, no doubt. But it's a testament. Two performances tonight, but in fact, three performances tonight, bonuses, and four fights. Unreal.
He's sensational. The man is sensational.
He is. Tough fight for him against Silva. I don't think Silva will get near him, but it's still a tough fight because Silva's a legend. When he's held that belt, he's one of the greatest ever. Anderson Silva, so it's a big step up for him.
How good he's shown himself is how many. He's got this fight against Silva. The only reason he's got this fight against Silva because, let's be honest, his next fight's going to be a title fight.
Mm. Well, he did say the winner would get a shorter belt, even at Silva, which I think is a bit crap, but we can talk about
you look at that, well, how many fighters have been into UFC within a year? Basically sitting there waiting for a title fight.
I'm waiting, ready.
Ready, just give me that title fight.
That was kind of the whole point. Guess that's why he done it. His performances were absolutely brilliant. Every time I've seen him, I'm not a massive fan of his kind of
it's not your style.
No, because I don't like the fact that he's nonchalant. I don't like the fact that he's a bit kind of like blasé, like hands down and flicking his hand. I don't like that. I like guys to be.
I like it. If
he can back it up.
Yeah.
I like him when he's see when he's actually fighting. He stops all that stuff. I do enjoy watching him.
He's striking. You can see that for his kickboxing record and all that. I mean, he's just a sensational fighter. I think. And deserves that 100%.
Yeah, so well done to Israel Adesanya on being the Inside the Cage Newcomer of the Year 2018. It's a very prestigious award to win.
If you like your award, please let us know. Happy to send over.
Send you a deep fried Mars bar, mate. Next, we've got Upset of the Year. Now we can, we swithered a wee bit.
It's a difficult one, this.
Because it depends on what you're looking at. Because like we talked about Paul Craig, our big guy, Paul Craig against Nkailev. I said to you that wasn't an upset of the year because at the end of the day, you can't base it on what happened during the fight. But you said to me,
I looked at it and he was actually, well, 72 on the betting in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
72, which is 3.5 to 1, which is on a fighting scale, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That should never be happening in a fight. Did he actually get beaten up for 14 minutes then win that fight?
If it was based on what happened in the 15 minutes, that would have been the award winner for this because you cannot go 14 minutes, 15 seconds, and beat the living shit out of and it, submit a guy without it being an upset.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the stats before the fight, I wouldn't have said that was necessarily an upset. You probably could have went either way. If it had gone to the ground earlier, it might have happened earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
true.
Basically, our third, number three, that was just a special mention for Paul Craig. Our third on that list was Alex Hernandez versus Beneil Dariush, which was a massive upset.
Because he
took it on a week's notice.
Yes.
And he was one of these ones you kind of come in and go, maybe do all right, but he's probably going to get beat and maybe come back for his second fight for proper camp and do all right. And he smashed Dariush in 42 seconds, as we mentioned about 5 minutes ago.
Straight into there.
And that was him straight in.
Straight in the rankings.
Straight in. Like, boom, have that.
That's done nice and easy.
Job done, that's him. You could almost say he's not far away from a title shot if he gets knockout wins. The lightweight division's pretty
stacked.
It's hard, but obviously Adesanya, there's nothing in the middleweights, as you and I have talked about. There's nothing in there for him to worry about. He's beaten Brunson and stuff like that. You know, he's ready. Exactly. So maybe Hernandez had maybe a couple of fights behind Adesanya, but he's no far away based on the fact that he debuted this year.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Second upset of the year was possibly one of my fights of the year. And although I don't really like what he's turned into since, I was a massive Henry Cejudo fan.
I'm really disappointed. I don't like the man.
He's a bit kind of blasé, a bit kind of like, yeah, I smashed him, kind of rubbing it in people's feet, and I'm not really into that. But Henry Cejudo beating DJ was a massive shock. If it wasn't for what happened 2 weeks ago, it would have been, without a doubt.
Oh, definitely. I would have been, because nobody expected it, let's be honest. No. He'd fought him before, he'd get beaten up before, he'd get smashed.
Aye.
Was not expected.
But Cejudo did say it was going to happen. Cejudo did say, he says after he beat him the first time, he says, right, I'll tell you what, give me 2 years, I'll come back and I'll do it. And he did it. He went away 2 years later, came back. Turned himself into a proper good MMA fighter. And he is a good MMA fighter. He totally bossed DJ. He totally nullified DJ's threats. And it was a great performance. It was
brilliant.
And it was a massive shock.
It was a shock for me. I didn't expect that. I've never liked watching DJ. And I thought this was going to be one of these fights because I thought DJ's just going to go, do what DJ does, and then that's at the end of the show.
There isn't many flyweights that could get near DJ, and he did, and he bossed it.
Fair play him.
Yeah, fair play him. But our upset of the year happened 2 weeks, a week ago.
Was it a week ago? Just over a week ago.
And when Amanda Nunes smashed Cyborg in 40 odd seconds.
Because it was,
I mean,
the unbeaten get beaten. They're not even unbeaten, unbeatable. I just should look as though she would never ever going to get beaten Saigo.
No.
Just why these people, everything goes in against, as soon as the step in that cage looked terrified.
It was unreal.
I loved it.
If she beat her, right, over in the decision, would it have been upset of the year?
Probably still.
It would have been one of the top two anyway. Aye. That's my point. Like, it doesn't matter how she beat her. Yeah, she beat her spectacularly.
Just the fact that she stepped up a division, put on all that extra weight, and just sort of pummeled her.
Didn't look phased.
No.
Totally looked comfortable. Cyborg looked rocked. She knew what she was doing. Aye. She knew she had to go after Cyborg, she did. And well deserved, Amanda Nunes, an upset of the year. Well, I suppose it is for her, not really for the fight, because the upset of the year was her.
Nunes upset of the year, so.
Next we've got knockout of the year. Now, you and I again had a little bit of a discussion on this. We'll talk about why after, when we get to the first one. But in third place was Lyoto Machida.
Yes, for that incredible front kick
down the middle that I don't think anybody's seen coming. And Belfort will definitely maintain heart a wee bit.
I don't know if he ever knew it happened.
No, I think he probably still doesn't know how he got knocked out. It was perfect. It was literally perfect. And that's the karate style of Machida. That's why Machida is so, so good to watch. Mm-hmm. And why I really like Machida. Shame, I wished I'd watched MMA 10 years ago because I'd have seen Machida in his prime.
Yeah.
And it upsets me that I've never seen that. Okay, you go watch videos, but it's never quite the same as watching it live. But I feel as if Machida is just one of these guys that's just amazing, and to watch him karate kick somebody in the mush was just
flat on the deck.
Oh, it was just out cold.
It was just absolute class. The kick, the time, and everything was just absolute class.
To be honest, any one of these three we've picked could have been KO of the year.
100%. There's ones we've missed out that we even talked about that were possible.
Well, Rockhold, Romero knocking out Rockhold,
mm-hmm,
isn't even our top three, you know.
But Razak Al Hassan knocking out Hot Massey, which was another one punch knockout, which was incredible.
You were talking about Jessak Andrade knocking out Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
To get that power for a woman, just a one punch knockout was something you really, really, really see, and it was incredible.
Even when Stevens knocked out Josh Emmett, that was nasty. That was a proper good knockout.
Yeah, there was some scary knockouts.
Aye, Cormier's even.
Man.
Hernandez, who we talked about earlier on, there's loads of good knockouts, and this year it's been absolutely crazy.
It's been a crazy, crazy year, but it's been absolutely brilliant. Another one was Aldo's body punch, which was just, Stevens just
greeting. Folded.
He's just greeting. He was greeting.
And no wonder, I think I felt it.
Oh, that was incredible. He's just seen his face go. Brilliant.
But our number two was Brian Ortega when he knocked out Frankie Edgar. This could also have been a bit of an upset, a bit of a shock.
It was just kind of starting Ortega away.
Not really, it was a big fight for him, and I don't think it was a massive, massive shock, but it said it was maybe a wee bit of shock of how he done it. I think most people were expecting him to get Edgar on the ground and maybe submit him, but to knock him out, to be honest, I've watched the fight.
First person ever to finish Edgar.
Yeah. To be honest, I've watched it, and I think even Ortega was surprised.
Right. He's not the kind of guy you think you can go in and knock out, because if somebody's never been knocked out.
Yeah.
You've got to go in there and think, right, I need to try and do something different here. I need to work on use your ground game, use your jiu-jitsu and all that. But no, I went in there and stood to him. And Brian Ortega's proven how good his stand-up game is. It's incredible.
Yeah.
For a guy who's jiu-jitsu based, basically.
I know. But that's one of my biggest bugbears, that obviously against Holloway, didn't use any of his jiu-jitsu, and he probably should have.
He should have done that, aye. He trusted his striking too much, maybe, against Holloway.
This is the bit we argued about. Because, now, Mark's opinion is that every single knockout punch is a fluke. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, because if you're going to aim to punch somebody, you're aiming to punch somebody right. Now, you could say Rodriguez aimed to elbow, but I just think that is the luckiest knockout ever.
Of course it is.
But I just... But I mean,
they knock him the fuck out.
I mean, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I wanted Zombie to win that fight so bad, and on my card, I think I had Zombie winning.
I think we both said that. Just.
If it could have been a draw, would have had a draw.
Aye.
But there had to be a winner, and I just feel so gutted that happened. But it wasn't my knockout of the year, personally. I would probably have had Ortega and Machida. In fact, I don't even think it was in my top three, because I felt as if it was a wee bit lucky. But
I just thought it was insane. It's one of these knockouts I don't think you'll ever see again.
No, you're not. I mean, because it was freakish. I still don't understand how Rodriguez bent his arm like that and got any power in that, because his arm was crazy. It was crazy. And it probably is well deserved. It's maybe just me having the hatred because Zombie got beat and it was so gutting. But yeah, well deserved Gael Rodriguez.
It was an insane knockout. You're never going to see it again. I think you just got to gear him on it just for that fact.
Fuck it, why not? Congratulations, Gael Rodriguez, knockout of the year.
Well done, son.
One of the big ones. again, another one we argued about, submission of the year.
Yeah, we had a wee bit of a discussion.
Not an argument, we had a discussion about it. We don't argue, we're pals. So I was adamant that the number three we picked had to be in our top three. Because I think it was honestly one of the best I've seen. A lot of people might say not, right? But Paddy Pimblett's jumping, flying, whatever you want to call it, triangle of Alexis Savvidis was insane.
That was the, because it went for the triangle, then he also had to change it part way through.
It was something like, because it wasn't even just a triangle, it was a triangle armbar. He had, it was weird, and he was standing, and he out of nowhere, jumped up, wrapped his legs around his head, pulled his arm back, and had a triangle armbar, standing triangle armbar. Mm. It honestly was one of the best.
It was brilliant, don't get me wrong, it was an incredible.
This list has changed so much, right? Paul Craig isn't in our top three,
aye,
and probably should.
We had Paul Craig on it,
but
at one point. I had Pedro on it. I thought Tyson's Pedro was
that, against Safarov.
That Kimura, the power that he got in the throw was, yeah, to actually bend it up, it was incredible. I loved that.
Even Latifi's submitting OSP.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a standing guillotine jolt against a guy who's massively tall. That's a guy who's short doing that. Mm.
Even all in it, you'd on it with Ezekiel chop for the bomb. That's just insane.
There was loads of them. It was insane. So hard to choose from. In fact, our number one's actually joint, but
our number two
was Ryan Hall's knee twist. Horrible, horrible.
He ended BJ Penn's career last week.
Oh man, honestly, see if BJ hadn't tapped, that was gone. That was ligaments gone. It was cartilage gone. It was the knee was fucked. He needed a fucking knee replacement.
I think it went anyway, to be honest. It was the technique involved in getting that done that got it for me. The technique was just...
And Ryan Hall's a dangerous dude, man.
That's why nobody will find.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
We talked about that last week. Nobody will touch Ryan Hall. And it's a shame for everybody, I think, to be honest. I think it's a shame for the world of mixed martial arts that you can't see one of the best practitioners of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fine.
Aye, non-Brazilian practitioners.
Yes, well, that's...
I mean, aye, definitely well deserved. I say, listen, we could have picked any three.
Well, actually, I picked any three.
And no matter what we pick, people are going to, obviously, if people listen and don't agree, then people are going to come on and tell us. I imagine they will, because obviously there's a lot of stuff out there that was good. What about, there's one of the Chinese last year, was it Zhang? When Zhang, she did that mad armbar. That was a great submission in China.
Aye.
It was amazing as well, do you know what I mean? But
with a special mention as well for Danny Henry, because I thought because he'd done that in a minute or something like his. His against, I can never say that boy's name.
That would do.
Aye, him.
That would do.
That was another great with guillotine choke, so many.
We both picked our first, but then I said to you, well, what about the other one that happened on the same night? And you can't really pick between two. Personally, for me, I think Zabit's was better, but there wasn't enough between them to pick that Sterling's was better. So it was a case of, do you know what? Same night, same submission.
It was the same submission, situation, but performed in different ways.
But both came from the same place.
Yeah, they did.
Hanging over top, yeah. And they were both. I mean, you look at Zabit's, and that knee is hyperextended beyond. I mean, our joint submission of the year is Zabit Magomed Sharipov and Aljamain Sterling.
Definitely.
For their knee bars.
We'd had one in history.
And then two in the same night.
Two in the same night. One fight after the other. It was insane.
It was crazy. And both well deserved. Like, I've never seen it like it.
You'll never see it like that again.
No.
I'd be surprised if you see one of them again. Mm. See if you see one of them again this year, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Unless Big Zabit or Big Aljo goes and does it anyway.
Yeah.
Done
to Zabit and Aljo. Congratulations. It's a very prestigious award. So next, coming towards the last few awards we've got, guys. Performance of the year. Now, this is rather than fighter of the year or fight of the year. This is an individual performance by guys. Again, there was loads of these. We struggled with this. We toiled back and forward.
It was in all one of these weird categories where you get the guy that came in and just performed absolutely incredibly well. Doesn't matter what level it was at, or you look at how the level the fighter that he was at.
Mm. It's hard because you obviously look at your top guys and think, was there anything up there that was absolutely outstanding? Because even, again, I feel as if all we've talked about tonight is Alex Hernandez, but Alex Hernandez's performance against Bernil Darouche, although short, was outstanding. But then he's not in our top three either.
No.
So it's a kind of strange one. Our first one, we actually, in third place, we had We had Miocic versus Ngannou, but we kind of, we sacked that last minute because we were chatting just literally just before we started recording today. Ryan Bader versus Matt Mitrione.
Yes, the dominance.
Possibly one of the best things I've ever seen.
I think
so.
I think it was just pure domination.
Not an awful lot of technical stuff in it. He didn't need to. All he had to do was grind Matt Mitrione down, and he done exactly what he had to do. He done exactly what he had to do to beat Matt Mitrione. As we said when we reviewed that on the podcast, I said to you, all of Bader's strengths fitted against all of Mitrione's weaknesses, and it just made it dominant. 100%. And Bader's performance, he didn't have to perform at that level. He could have beaten Matt Mitrione with a lot less effort.
Definitely.
A lot less effort, but he made it an absolute class act.
It was just sensational. He proved how good he is with that performance, because he's absolutely brilliant.
Mm. Yeah. Next on our list, TJ against Cody.
Skilled him again.
That was why, see the keyword you said there? Again. That was the key word.
Aye, to do it once, brilliant.
Fine, well done, TJ. But to actually give Cody time to get himself back, get himself sorted, and go again, you'd think Cody would have been swapped for that, and TJ just went,
right. Look at his mistakes, the first fine, go, right, this is what I did wrong. Nah, it's still happened again.
Nah, still just got to keep doing TJ's. It. And if it happens again, it'll be the same thing. And I think that's why it was so impressive from TJ. It was honestly one of my performances. I probably would have had that. Well, no, I wouldn't have had that over the next one, no chance.
No, you can't.
It was always going to be in my top three. TJ was great. He was so assured, and he didn't even look like he was going to lose. I know there was a couple of wobbles to go for him, but it was a great performance. But I don't think there's any question as to performance of the year.
There's no words to describe how good this man was in the night.
Take a bow, Mr. Holloway.
Yes.
That's it.
The man had been out for,
people wrote him off. He wasn't favourite for that fight, which is a disgrace.
In fact, the champion wasn't favourite for a fight.
I mean, I'm a massive Ortega fan. I wanted Ortega to smash him. I still want it to happen. I still want Ortega to fight him again and smash him. But it's just, that was an absolute clinic. It was unbelievable.
The striking, the ability, the timing.
It's not even, what was it you said the McGregor said? Timing beats speed and precision beats power?
Aye, it doesn't
hit hard or fast, but it hits straight and true. And on perfect timing.
And everything hits. Everything. That's why his face was an absolute riot.
He doesn't miss.
No.
It was 100% my performance of the year. There's no question about that. Absolutely no question that was the best thing.
100%. It has to be. Because, let's be honest, the man hadn't fought for a year as well. He had so many different issues with these.
And he'd be written off and all
weight
this.
Weight cuts and stuff like that.
His apparent stroke.
Aye. Whatever that was. And obviously, the disappointment of not fighting Khabib. Then the disappointment of not being first fighting. It was one of these years, he had a hellish year, and he came out, and to produce a performance like that was just insane.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the doubts were rightful.
I was doubtful as well.
The doubts were right. People were probably correct to doubt him. He had a really couple of bad weight cuts. He missed two fights in a row. He was looking pretty gaunt, but I mean, to hit weight and then absolutely smash Brian Ortega the way he did was a clinic. And well done to Max Holloway on our performance of the
100%.
Year.
Hopefully another way around next year.
I know. No reason why I couldn't.
Definitely not.
So on to the big three. So what we're left with, guys, is fight of the year, female fighter of the year, and male fighter of the year. Now, fight of the year, I think this is the only one you and I didn't agree to disagree with.
I think
you swelled on your own, but I had this top
three. I couldn't make a mind up to start with, because there was another couple of fights in there that I thought were just absolutely insane as well. You'd won earlier on in the year, which is also, in fact, basically all three fights we've got as our fights of the year, I couldn't make my mind up which was number one.
Yeah, any one of these could have been number one.
100%, anyone. There was a couple of maybe ones that never got. You've got Zabit versus Kyle Bortniak, which I thought was an incredible fight. The fact that Kyle Bortniak's face is just an absolute mess. He's just...
Yeah, but the two of them are laughing and smiling at each other at the end.
Just looking at Zabit going, come on, hit me harder, hit me. You're never going to knock me out.
It was an absolute war. It was an epic fight.
It was brilliant. The other one that we loved for all it lasted, we got around the half of it, it was Santos Manoa.
I know for what it was, but it could never have been fight of the year.
No, I'm not saying it could have been
fight
of the year.
That's nowhere near the quality of the three fights we've got around down here.
That was an 8 minutes of the year.
Oh, aye, if it was...
If it was
two rounds of the year.
Five knockdowns or something like that.
Crazy.
If you had a round of the year, that would be a round of the year.
What, the first round of that
first
fight?
First round of that fight.
Yep.
That's your round 100%, of the year.
100%. That was unreal.
Everything in that first round.
Unreal.
It was insane. But I will go over top three. So we're top three. First of all, Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis, which is the biggest shame in the world that that fight had to get stopped.
Yeah, because of a broken hand, of all things. Yeah. I mean, that would have been epic for that to go the distance.
I'd have been happy watching another 5-6 rounds of that.
Well, we talked about that at the time, didn't we? We talked about that at the time, and we said we would honestly, literally, have watched that
on night.
Because I watched them two go at it on night. They're so compatible in terms of fighting each other. It makes it a great, great spectacle for people.
The two of them give their all every single time.
And that was fight of the night at 2-9, which is but you think of the before that card happened. Fight of the night, you're probably expecting that to be the main event. And the two guys didn't quite overshadow, obviously, with the carry on afterwards.
No.
But 100% deserved fight of the night and 100% deserved third place in the Inside the Cage fight of the year. Next, we had Justin Gaethje.
Dustin Poirier. Which was the one where Justin Gaethje absolutely destroyed Poirier's leg. Poirier can actually walk, and somehow he still had the power on his body to knock Justin Gaethje out at the end of it.
Yep.
It was insane. This was blood, guts, thunder, everything thrown in there. And it was just brilliant. I loved every minute. This is another fight that you could watch over and over and over and over again and just sit and go, this is brilliant. Yeah. This is absolutely brilliant.
It was a proper war, and it was a proper good, as you say, Poirier looked like he was done. He was totally out, totally done.
Oh, his legs were done, because he just kept getting chopped, kept chopping the legs, the whole thing. And, brilliant. My finish as well, to be fair. His knockout was absolutely sensational. So,
absolutely different class. You see, it's funny because you said at the start of this that any one of these three fights could be fight of the year. Although I can see that, there was no way anything was beating this fight for me. Absolutely nothing. Unbelievable, mate. Like Zombie Rodriguez, I honestly think it was immense. It was two guys proper going at it. Lots of technical stuff as well. Like, it wasn't just blood and guts for 3 rounds. There was a lot of standing off. But honestly, man, I don't think I've seen a better 14 minutes and 58 seconds of fighting.
I loved every single bit of it.
It was amazing. I'm really surprised that it hasn't been hasn't really been talked about much as fighting.
A few people have spoke about it, a few people haven't, but
it's not like massively up there. And that's the thing with me. Like, I just don't know. It's opinions. You and I agree it's one of the best fights. It's one of the best fights I've ever seen.
It was the technical aspect thrown in with the blood and guts and thunder and
the heart of the two of them.
The two of them with 10 seconds that's to go, we had a wee cuddle, then all of a sudden.
We were so gutted that it ended the way it did, because we wanted that to go all the way, because it deserved it.
100%.
It totally deserved it. A bit like what was just said about Ferguson Pettis. It was so destined to go the distance, it would have been a great fight.
I wanted that to go 7, 8, 9 rounds easily.
We said exactly the same about Zombie. And Rodriguez, we could happily have watched that again for another 2 or 3 rounds. It was amazing.
No problem.
And without a doubt, well deserved to both guys on the Inside the Cage 2018 Fight of the Year.
100%.
Zombie versus Rodriguez.
I think we should get a rematch in the go.
I think we should, and then we can just nominate that for 2018 straight away.
I think that'd be a great idea.
So we're on to our last two awards, and that is our Female and Male Fighter of the Year. Now, there's only one of these that's still up for discussion. We haven't actually finalised, so we might just do that on the podcast.
And well, it's right now, isn't it? It's...
So, basically, our third Woman of the Year, Mark fancies Jessica Andrade for that title.
For me, it's Jessica Andrade.
Whereas I think Tatiana Suarez was arguably probably slightly better for me, personally. Just the nature of it and...
I looked at this.
Kovalkiewicz's knockout was a big deal, right? I get that. And it makes it seem like it was probably a bigger deal than what it was. But I just think Suarez looks so calm. And she looks like such a danger. Like, such a danger. That's the thing for me. She looks so dangerous.
Well, she does. I think if she ever fights for the title, she's going to absolutely mangle Rose. She's so long and big. And she's got everything to win that title.
Yeah.
100%, yeah. She's got everything to go win that title.
I mean, as soon as any fight with any woman in that division goes on the ground, she wins a fight.
Oh, aye, because nobody's getting up.
Nobody will ever get up.
You're never getting up in a million years. But I just think that Jessica Andrade's put herself in that position first to go and get that title shot. She's went out, she's She beat Tisha Torres, she beat Karolyn Kowalczyk, and she just went and got herself up.
So who did Tatiana Suarez beat then?
She beat
Esparza.
Esparza and Alexa Grasso. So a 13th and a 9th. With Andrade being 6th and 7th. As they currently are, also at the time, we're higher up than
I
that.
I think we have to leave them both then, because I don't think we can pick between them. I think they're too similar. It was two similar fights. Both are two good fights. Do you know what they should do? They should fight each other.
But then,
because Naomi Yunus isn't looking like she's defending anytime soon. But
Andrade then beat Kadelia there before as well, so she's beaten three very highly ranked fighters. So in my opinion, Andrade's
that was last year, but doesn't count.
Aye, but I think if we're talking in regards to a title shot.
Aye, no, Andrade definitely deserves a title shot, don't get me wrong. I was just kidding on, but for me, I think Suarez, just to be honest, I think just the nature of the performances, I don't know if it's because I prefer grappling over striking, maybe that's tipping my skills. Exactly, so maybe we're just not going to agree and we're just going to have to.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this
one. So joint third, Jessica Andrade and Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah, well done it too.
Great, not that anybody cares, it's third place.
No, you know, first, your last, that was.
The next two, would they have been the other way about had the result not been the way it was last Saturday?
I don't know if Nunez would even have been in the top three.
Yeah.
She'd won title defence against Raquel Benton, which was a great performance, don't get me wrong. But
they've got one.
Aye.
Basically, our second is Valentina Shevchenko.
Yes.
Valentina's had two good performances, one against, you know, a lassie who isn't ranked, and then she fought Joanna for the belt.
Mm-hmm. But she won that belt with absolute ease.
And I'm so chuffed for Sheva. She deserves the belt and she deserves the performance, and congratulations on being second, but there is no way any woman of the year could possibly trump
Amanda Nunes.
She defended her own belt and then went and took somebody else's belt, possibly off the scariest woman
who's ever lived.
Well, not true. There's a heavyweight woman who's absolutely terrifying. And I wouldn't mess with Kayla Harrison either. Yeah, talking about women, like Pollyanna Viana. You see that?
Oh, I see.
Some guy tried to mug her and she fucked him up, man.
She absolutely.
A wee shout out to Polly, because that was amazing. That's exactly what you do. You know, these guys think it's all right to take advantage of women and then get absolutely schooled, and that's exactly the way it should be. Fair play to you. But yeah, well done to Amanda Nunes, our female fighter of the year. 100% well deserved. I just marked just there. Would she have been in that list had she not been cyber? Probably not. So it may have been a different, maybe we would have had Shevchenko, Andrade and Suarez. That would have been our top three. But
you should maybe have put Cyborg in there, because she did have one title defence, didn't she?
Yeah, and she would have defended that against Nunez, she probably wouldn't have beaten Sheva, because Sheva's been
probably
different class. But yeah, well done Amanda Nunez, because without a doubt, well deserved. Different, one of the greatest ever, in my opinion.
No, she is a great star, but you can't even argue with that now, I don't think.
On to our final award, and it's the 2018 Male Fighter of the Year for Inside the Cage. Now, we didn't really discuss this much. I think we were kind of in agreement, to be honest.
It was. There's definitely a few notable mentions. Definitely,
100%. I mean,
The one for me would have been Ryan Bader if he'd his title shot this year. See if the title fight was this year. Ryan Bader could have been in there.
My argument would be that he's had two fights in a Grand Prix, which is a very high level. It's the top guys in the weight class, and he's a fighting away above. So is that better than what Usman's done? Probably. Is it better than what Adesanya's done? Probably. But it isn't. I don't know. It's a weird one, because for me, he should be in there if you ask me. It's okay. Usman's had four wins. Adesanya's had four wins.
Usman's had three wins.
Yeah. Bader, I don't know if Bader's fought three times, maybe just twice this year. I can't remember.
Let's quickly check. I think it was only. No, I think, do you know, defend.
If he defended his light heavyweight belt, then we're taking one of the guys out.
I can't actually remember.
What are you? No, I defended November 2017.
Wait, so he did two.
Again, he won it in June, defended November, and then fought a class above in May and October in the following year. It's a different class, man.
Bro, you don't get me wrong, but then you
look. Again, it is special mentions, that's the whole point. We picked our top three, we're not changing it now.
No, we're not changing the top three now, but Ryan Bader was definitely one of the close. The other ones you can maybe look at, Thiago Santos, who fought in two different weight categories this year and basically just pummeled every single person he ever fought. Because that's what Thiago Santos does, and everybody loves Thiago Santos for that.
Mana was still recovering.
I think we can't. I don't think Mana will ever recover. Honestly. He had 5 fights this year. Fair enough, he lost against David Branch.
He
beat Anthony Smith. Who's now fighting for a light heavyweight title, by the way.
We'll come to that later.
On.
You imagine if he didn't get beat by Branch.
So I was gonna say he'd been fight of the year, but not quite, but he'd been in your top.
He probably would have had a middleweight title shot.
Not easy. If he stayed at middleweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without doubt.
It's just one of those. He had a great 2018. To go 4-1 is amazing. And to beat some of the guys, Manawa, Anders, Kevin Holland, you know, he did really well.
Just 5 fights in a year just shows absolute, I'm a badass, I just want to fight.
Yeah. Another one for me was Rory McDonald. I had Rory in my top 10, I think. A lot of people say why, because obviously he beat by Musasi, but he won that belt.
Because I would say Musasi as well, because Musasi won and defended the belt in the same year against the welterweight champion.
I mean, he did only fight, he hasn't defended his welterweight title yet. Obviously, he's part of the Grand Prix.
So.
With hopefully his fight doing his stuff. We've got a date for his fight, it's just not been announced yet, but I don't have they told us, but I've told them.
You've told them?
I've told them, right?
Yeah, get it to him. That's good.
Get it to him.
So, Musashi's another one, if you're looking at Bellator. Another one, maybe you could say we're looking at is Anthony Smith because of where he came from. I know you don't like the man.
I don't like him. Listen, I like anybody who fights John Jones. I just don't rate him. I don't know if it's just me, if he's just been lucky. I don't know. I just feel as if. I don't know.
He's only lost Thiago Santos in his last 7 fights.
Yeah.
He'd 4 fights. He lost to Thiago Santos back in February, and he's won his 3 fights since. But Rashad Evans, Shogun, and then Volkan.
Yeah, I know. I can't really grumble. Shogun's done. Rashad Evans isn't really anything to worry about. Volkan's something to worry about. Volkan should have mashed him and didn't. I don't know. I think if he comes up against anybody with any real dump, like, sorry, but Jones is going to smash him.
Well, Jones is going to have him for breakfast.
He's
going to have him for breakfast.
I would love to see Smith beat Jones, but I just can't see it.
Never going to happen.
No, never say never.
Never going to happen.
But we've talked about everybody else. Why don't we talk about top 3?
Let's get it in it.
Israel's a big deal this year.
Yeah, you can't doubt what that man's done in the sport this year.
And if it hadn't been for, you know, maybe Usman doing what he did and, you know, stuff like that, maybe he would have been further up this list. Maybe next year he will be the guy.
To 4 fights, go win all 4 fights, put yourself into title contention. You've got a fight set up against one of the greatest to ever do it. What a year it's been for Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
100%. It's been an incredible year for him.
Can't, you know, doubt that at all.
And Joe, as I said, we'll talk about this earlier on, he backs up every single thing he does. Anything he says, he backs it up.
It's funny because you could say the same about Usman. Usman's only 2 years older than Usman's second on our list, by the way, guys, just in case you didn't get that jump there.
I was just jumped a wee bit, aye.
He is second on our list of male fighter of the year, and he is 14-1. He lost his second fight and hasn't been defeated since 2013. So he's technically 13-0 since, right? No,
12.
Exact same record as Adesanya.
Mm-hmm.
A shame these guys aren't at the same weight class. That would be absolutely amazing.
They could be.
They could, maybe eventually they might be, but
yeah, that could be super fight.
Usman just edged it for us. They could either have been second or third, both of them. Right. In fact, you should probably just have a joint second and not have a third.
Possibly.
Because they're both on this roughly the same level.
I think maybe for me what got it was that Usman's now got his title fight.
And he has fought some serious guys.
Right, Damian Maia, RDA. Even Emil Meek's a fucking great fighter.
Mm.
So
up and down, but he's also went 2-5 rounders.
Aye.
He's done the distance.
He's had to beat them the hard way and he's done it. And
although he did kind of toil with RDA a bit.
Aye, he did a bit. But still, I just, for what he's done this year and where he's got himself to, I don't think you can argue with it.
And you can't argue with a male fighter of the year.
I don't think anybody was. I don't like the man. I've never bothered like the man.
I don't know.
I like him on commentary. It's the only thing I like this man. See if he doesn't do the commentary. I hate him.
I don't know, I like him. I think there's something to him. I think he's a bit mouthy sometimes. The whole Lesnar thing was a fucking disgrace. But Daniel Cormier is the Inside the Cage 2018 Male Fighter of the Year. And to
defend the Light Heavyweight Championship, win
the heavyweight championship, then defend the heavyweight championship on the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
At 40.
At 40.
Oh, 39. Sorry, doing you a disservice, DC. Apologies, mate.
Miocic started with one of the greatest to ever do it, so just to beat him.
And the way he finished Volkan.
Aye, just.
With that crucifix, aye, was unreal. And even then, Derek Lewis. Somebody Derek Lewis went near naked. I didn't think he would get. I didn't think Derek Lewis would get.
Who can get his arms in Derek Lewis's neck?
I know. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, listen, you could say, oh, but Adesanya's had four good wins. I maybe Volkan Uzdemir's on a, sorry, focus. Kamaru Usman has been on a great run and maybe deserves to be fighter of the year. Aye, cool. I'm up for all of that. But to be honest, I can't see past DC. Champ. Well, was champ. Obviously, Jones has taken the LHW away from him.
Yes, he has.
But, I mean, yeah, no question for me.
100%. Can't argue. I really just can't argue. Brilliant.
So that concludes the Inside the Cage Awards for 2018.
Yeah.
I look forward to doing it again next year. I quite enjoyed that. It was good.
You get to watch a lot of fights that you've not seen for a while and you go,
yeah, you go back and watch them and enjoy them. And yeah, like really, really good.
Quite plus, good to be back.
We've only been doing the podcast for 3 months, so next year, hopefully, we'll have more notes and we'll be better, you know. And so we'll probably missed a couple of some obvious stuff that we've missed.
Well, basically, you kind of based us on things we've watched, we've seen, more than anything else.
Exactly. What about final thoughts on 2018 overall, MMA wise? I mean, it's certainly getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It was a great year. I can't grumble about anything that happened this year.
You had the super fight with Khabib McGregor, everyone's wanted for years. You had a women's super fight, takes women's MMA to another level. You know, you've got another weight class at women's with the featherweight and the stuff like that. You've got a champ DC making it a big deal at that. And you've got all these great things. Cage Warriors reached 100 shows.
Brilliant for Cage Warriors.
Great, these great things. Everything has been so good this year. Like, there's been a lot of controversy. There's this crap with Jones and obviously the Khabib situation.
Going to get the stuff. So it's just good. It's good stories. It gets you talking about
it. Although people say, oh, I know it's shocking he jumped that cage. It's like, well, he's more marketable now than McGregor is.
I want to get
well, you know what I'm saying? No, he's a hell of a lot more markable than he was before it. He was dull and boring. I like the calmness. I like the fact that he's a bit kind of to himself, doesn't talk much, and then says, you know, I hear we're McGregor or this part, right? I like all that part. But no, he's deemed as this kind of weird guy that's marketable.
I think he's a wallop on
there. Yeah, I think he's a wallop for jumping the cage, mate. He shouldn't have a bit.
He shouldn't just, have just for that. I just think he's a wallop on
there. That's what we should have done. Fanny of the year. Because you know who that would be? Fucking Dylan Danis. I hate that guy. Oh, man. See a picture of him standing topless with Ronaldo?
No.
Absolutely need.
Honestly,
think for Danis, that's the only reason he was on McGregor's coattails. Honestly, I swear to God, fame. And he pushed. I fuck him, hate him. But overall, I think 2018 was good, sorry. Jumping ahead of myself. We started this podcast, something that you and I have talked about for a while, never ever had the guts to do it. We've done it.
That's 4 months I've been going there.
I'm really pleased and I'm really happy, and if you guys like it, please let us know. We'd love to hear, you know, some sort of feedback from you.
How we can even make the show better.
We want to reach a bigger audience. We want it to get shared. That's the one thing I would say about it, is nobody. I really want to push on and get a lot more listeners and stuff like that. That's kind of the plan, and you guys can help us with that by sharing it and letting people know that you listen to it. Send us a message, get us on Facebook, just send us a message, say, listen, it was good, it was rubbish, whatever, just a wee bit of something to know people are listening to it, because as soon as you click play, it gives us a listen, but we don't actually know if you listen to the whole thing.
Right, you just get bored after 2 minutes and disappear.
Exactly, you might hear my horrible voice and go, I'm not listening to that prick. So let us know what you think, please, please do. And here's to a great 2019, MMA, but for Inside the Cage.
Definitely.
So after that, let's do a wee bit of news to round up.
Yeah, we look over the last week.
We've got about 10 minutes or so. We can probably fill about 10 minutes, no problem. Most of it, to be honest, is just fight announcements.
As fight announcements, a lot really been happening outside of the fight announcements. We'll start off with something that's not a fight announcement, but which is closer to home for us, and it's Cage Warriors. It's now exclusive to UFC Fight Pass.
BT Sport. Basically, UFC outbid BT Sport. Aye. And somebody else. There was another British
Apparently
one.
Somebody else was involved.
I wonder if Sky Sports tried it, but I don't think Sky Sports would have grabbed
that. I
don't know who else it would have been. I really don't know who else it could have been. Maybe 11 Sports have tried to rescue it. But It doesn't really bother me. I got Fight Pass and I pay for Fight Pass. It means I can watch them back. The only thing I would say is Gunn, you can't watch it on the big telly.
It's for the casual viewer, but isn't it? It's for a casual viewer who goes, oh, there's a bit of MMA on Saturday night and but BT Sport or something.
We can.
It's a decent time for us, that's the thing.
We always encourage people to watch. We encourage people to go watch 100 if they're based in Britain. When we review this, listen, go and watch it, go and enjoy it, tell us what you think. Now you can't do that. You have to pay.
This is Cage Wars is something that we can watch on our television. To be honest, a reasonable time.
Yeah, 9 o'clock's fine.
Everything. It's very rare that we'll get a massive promotion in this country at a reasonable time. Bellator, UFC doesn't come very often. So
no. Half Cage Wars every other month.
Yeah, brilliant. I loved that. Wee bit disappointed. But
I'm in that sense. I didn't actually think about it like that. I thought it was a good deal for them, but they've basically just done the deal for them. They see it as obviously there's obviously more money for them, which is cool. And if it helps them improve,
but is it going to allow MMA in this country to grow? We've already lost Bama.
It might not necessarily allow MMA to grow in terms of viewers, but what it will do is it will give more money into British MMA. It's a bigger deal. It's more money. It's 3 years. UFC have basically paid them, given them a 3-year contract. Yeah. So it's more money. Hopefully Graham Boylan and the guys at Cage Warriors do smart things. I know they've got the academies. There's academy shows coming up.
They're very good.
They'll always invest it. I really hope, you know, they do. And I can see it being a good thing overall, but I see what you're saying in terms of introducing new fans to it. Only way you'll see it if you're a new fan is free, because you're not going to go start paying £5.99 for UFC Fight Pass just to watch.
If you're just flicking the channels and all that about fighting, I'll go sit and watch this for £5. Hell, this is brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like what happened with us, really.
You sit and watch it and you go, this is absolutely sensational. I'm loving this. Yeah. And you go, I need to go pay a fiver. I'm not paying a fiver. I wanted to watch it now.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
So
it's a shame, but there we go.
Fair play, I mean, they've done what's best for their business. Yeah, that, so it's having
nothing bad to say about that. They've done exactly what they need to do for themselves. You've got to look after number one. Everybody says that. Look after yourself and worry about everybody else later. Graham Boylan started. You know what? The best deal financially is with UFC. Yeah. They've been good to us. They've got a deal with UFC currently.
Well, of course they have.
So. And they've thought, you know what? Let's give them exclusive rights. We want more money for us, and UFC get to keep their connection with Cage Warriors. It's great.
Hopefully, just mean more Cage Warriors fighters we're going over. Maybe even hopefully guys who maybe have maybe
more shows.
Maybe guys who maybe quite made it in the UFC will be jumping over to Cage Warriors. And
how many did Cage Warriors do this year? 10, 12?
I'm not actually sure, to be honest.
Yeah, so they might get more.
Hopefully.
They might get more. They might, like, the money, the extra money might give them enough to do more productions. Yeah. Maybe we get a couple in Scotland because we've not had them up here.
Well, we need West Houston defender in Scotland.
He's not going to Denmark.
Never going
I'm going to steal his passport if he agrees to that. I swear to God.
You better know he will.
Ross, I'm coming for your passport, mate. I'm telling you.
Next bit. I don't think there's any really surprise that this isn't happening.
It was never on in the first place.
Aye, okay. We don't bother talking about it then. Another fight for Prague got announced. Like Kylev Stoshich. Kylev's a good fighter. We've seen him obviously getting.
He's a shy fighter, mate. He got bust.
We've seen his fight Paul, after that, but.
Paul Craig, but aye, well, he was raging. He probably would have been like, listen, I want to fight next week. I don't care who you bring me against. I just want to fight. As soon as he meets Paul Craig, he's probably on the phone today and I go, listen, I don't care when, where or who. I need to fight as soon as. I need to rip somebody's head off. I would have hated to be the guy sparring with him the next week. Anybody sparring with Magomedov? No, not me. You, have you come, mate? No, definitely not. I don't want to spar with him, you kidding? None. Crazy, mate.
He's a very, very good fighter. Yes,
Stozic is a good fighter as well. That'll be good.
Other wee bit of news was Jimmy Smith leading the USC.
Me too, but I think there's a lot of guys there and it's getting a bit like not a bit too much because I like the fighters.
I like John Anik
or Brendan Fitzgerald is sitting with, you know, Paul Felder, DC. I mean, Dan Hardy's still my favourite. It's nothing to do with the fact that he's British because I hate the English accent. I'm like, no, I don't hate the English
accent. It's the way. So he's viewing all the fights and stuff like that, and the way
he's so precise and he loves it. He
explains everything.
He loves it and he's proper into it. He still trains it. He's got his own. He obviously helping that Amar Singh boys, and he loves it and his passion. Like when he stood up, I can't remember what video it is. There's a video of him. I don't know if it was China. Cannot remember for the life of me. But there's a video where Pure stands up when somebody gets knocked out. And it's a great video because the clip's from behind the fighter and he stands up.
And you can just see him going,
yeah, and it's just proper good. But yeah, it's good for Jimmy Smith because I like Jimmy Smith. He was a decent a decent analyst, decent pundit, but I don't think it's a great loss in terms of what they've got currently. Dom Cruise, love Paul Felder, love DC.
Very good.
There's loads of guys there.
Commentary teams, so
yeah. Plus, he didn't do very much. He didn't do a lot of events for them. I think a lot of the stuff he did was with Fox.
Yeah.
He did a lot of the, like, stuff with Karen Bryant and stuff like that, and Mikey Bisping and all the guys, so.
Another fight announced for UFC London, for anybody that's in the UK. Sakai's fine.
Gokhan Saki versus Safarov. Wow, that's a big fight, mate.
That's good. I'm looking forward to that. It should be good.
So gutted when I'm gone.
I don't know.
One of us needs to win a few grand on the bookies in the next few weeks, man, so we can go with that.
Unless you like, he's a few quid. We'll see if we start a GoFundMe page, will you send us?
Go for it. Get us there, aye. Go for it.
Go for that. OSP Circulars announced for UFC 235. There's a lot announced for UFC 235. But I went through the four fights that have kind of been announced for UFC 235. So OSP Circulars, Garbrandt Munoz, Woodley Guzman, and John Jones Anthony Smith.
See those top three fights you just read out there, the last
three? That's
they sound like main events for three different cards.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that is insane already. UFC 235.
I think they're going to split that down.
I don't know if they will. But
that makes the next three pay-per-view or two pay-per-views after that absolutely shit.
We've only got two title fights on that, but...
I know, but I don't know, mate. Sometimes I think when you get a card that's so stacked, it potentially makes the stuff after it, maybe not necessarily stuff before it, but the few weeks after it, maybe a bit, because you could easily put Garbrandt Munoz on a fight card, fight pass, on an ESPN card, and make that a bit more appealing for people. Take that off, leave the two title fights, why not? I don't mind the two title fights. Personally, I would probably split them up. But
I'm not a massive fan of two title fights on one card, I don't know why.
Because how do you pick who headlines?
Well, John Jones headline.
Aye, of course, because John Jones is Dana's bitch, but Woodley Usman, for me, is a better fight. I'd rather see that.
Aye, probably.
Although I want to see Smith.
But then I think that was a bit like, last week.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch Nunez Cyborg and watch John Jones.
Well, I wouldn't, because I love Gus, but I would much rather watch Woodley Usman than watch John Smith.
Aye.
So I would split them up, give them their own card, have another welterweight fight on the Woodley Usman card, and have another light heavy, because you've got Uzdemir Dom Reyes, that could easily be a co-main for that. Do you know what I mean? I just think sometimes it's like, oh my god, we've got all these good fighters, let's put them all on the same card. Well, what do you do for the next 4 weeks? Yeah, what do you do for the next? What's going to be? What's going to be on 236?
So many cards as well for next year.
What's going to be on 236? Exactly. There's nothing even in the mindset. To be fair, none of us would have called John Jones, Anthony Smith happening anytime soon.
And John Jones has come out and said he's going to fight three times next year.
And Woodley was obviously guaranteed to defend it pretty much 235. He was defending, which is a matter of whether Colby could remove whatever it is that shoved up his ass and get himself sorted.
I think it's fucking Donald Trump's card.
Whoa, mate, come on. We're not getting political, come on.
Is that too much?
I noticed how you said that under your breath, trying to see whether he pick it up. It's a stacked card. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. I've no issue with it being a stacked card. I just think that they could easily have split those top three fights over different cards and made it maybe spread it out.
Of course they could, but then you don't really know what is, because even if you look at that card already, Robbie Lawler, Ben Askren, Jeremy Stephens, Zabit, Holly Holm, Aspen Ladd,
even the other two, Gina Mazzani and the one you said, Vincent, that's a massive, massive card. It doesn't need those three fights on it.
What's in 2-3-6? Anything on 2-3-6 already?
I don't think so. It's too far away, isn't it?
I don't know. What's in 2-3-4?
No, there's nothing on 2-3-6.
What's in 2-3-4?
2-3-4's...
Whitaker Gastel.
Aye. And Adesanya Silva. So again, perfect middleweight title, middleweight co-main. That's how it should look. Look at that card and you think, oh, it's not really that stacked. Get Jim Crute versus Ryan Spann. We watched Jim Crute against Paul Craig. Kai Kara France, who was potentially one of our performance of the years.
Yeah,
looking forward to him. You know, some good fights on that. There really is. Anderson Silva, Adesanya. There's still more to be added to that because it's a very short card.
Yeah, there's all the main fights or something. Isn't it?
But then that's perfect. You've got a good. This is why I would think something like John Jones versus Anthony Smith and on the undercard, even a Blahovic versus. Because Blahovic is fighting. Is he not fighting Thiago Santos? No. Who's Blahovic?
Yeah, he is.
Prague?
In Prague, eh?
Why not make that under that?
Because you need a headliner for Prague.
I know, but I'm just saying, but you've got an news to me. I don't know. I know you need these headliners for these big events. I get that, mate.
You need to think about where your locations are going to be. Like,
In Brazil, he had a decent. Like, they wanted Aldo ahead right in Brazil, and Aldo refused. But it was Aldo a bit.
I read something about basically.
He doesn't want to fight for 5 rounds because basically can't do it anymore.
Well, no, they can't do it. He says he doesn't want to fight 5 rounds unless it's for a belt. He doesn't see the point. He's not going to put himself through that, and I totally agree with him.
Yeah,
he said, what's the point in fighting 5 rounds for 3 round money? Because you don't get paid any more for a main event.
Well,
he said, I'm getting paid this, and this is what it is, but they want me in my main event, so I've said no. Arguably, the main event of that one's pretty decent too, anyway.
Well, that's true. It was 2 wee guys. Is it all Marlon Moraes and...
Aye, Marlon Moraes and...
John Onicum, no?
No, I don't...
Oh, what's that? Oh, it's going to annoy me now.
A sunshine.
Yeah.
So that's a great main event. But Aldo's perfectly right to turn that down, and I totally get it. Do you know what I mean? You get Damon Meyer that night as well. That's a really good card. I'm really looking forward to that. I'll be really, really good, man. Really looking forward to that. But I just think it just seems like a waste. A waste of 3 fights.
It's a super card, isn't it? The 2-3-3, 2-3-4 is a good card.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outstanding yet, it's a good card. Maybe they need something to really push the boat out on ESPN box office. Because let's be honest, that's the first American pay-per-view of next year, and that's March.
Yeah, but it's not the first pay-per-view.
Aye, but this is, how do you sell an Australian pay-per-view to American viewers?
On ESPN, yeah, no, I get it.
At 8 in the morning. Do you know what I mean? So they've got to then go mental for 2-3-5 and go, look what we could produce on an American card. First fight in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So,
anything else?
Last bit of news, Stephen Thompson, Wonderboy, Anthony Pettis.
Seems like Tom will fight anybody, so go for it.
I think Tom will fight anybody, won't he?
Go for it. I think Tom will mash him.
I think that's actually quite like that. It's a fight, by the way.
Tom will mash
him. I think it's maybe too big a jump for Pettis, weight wise. But yeah, I'll watch it and I'll bloody enjoy it.
I love Tom.
I love Tom. You can't not love Tom. Yeah. I love his style, so. Yeah. No, I think that's us, mate. Done.
Well, that was the 2018 Inside the Cage Awards, guys. Thank you for listening again. Thank you for downloading. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Inside Cage MMA. Get out there. Give us a tweet. Give us a comment. Retweet the tweets, you know. Share the Facebook. Facebook's a big one because we're getting no likes on Facebook. It's quite sad. So give us a shout. Send us a message. Let us know what you think. And we'll hopefully be doing awards in 2019. Later in the year.
I'm looking forward to next year. We're going to do like a wee kind of preview of the year, aren't we?
I'll do like a 2019 preview and see what we would like to see in terms of fights and stuff like that. Hopefully, maybe we more.
Can we see who we think will be champions of the year?
Get across our point of who we like and, you know, what we think is going to happen from a fan's point of view. End of the day, guys, we're fans. That's it. Simple as that. Cheers for listening. We'll catch you next week.